there in just a moment.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come together to get into your word, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire us, allow your word to penetrate our hearts and our minds, to make a better servant for you, to be that used in our homes and our community, Father. We ask that you be with Brother Jim, the Holy Spirit guides him and directs him as he presents your word to us. We praise you, God, and we thank you for the living word. We ask this in your Son's name, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you want a thrill, since you're all here now, go to discovertheword.com, go to the video directory, and go over there where it says Hebrew Reading and Research. The last class on there is Hell's Angels and Vampires. Hell's Angels and Vampires. We were talking about that for 20 minutes before the class. The class is about 90 minutes long. They would not let me quit the class on Sunday night. And I kept asking them. I said, are we finished? And they heads would go, not yet. So anyway, it's 90 minutes long. On audio, it's only 80 minutes, so you're going to miss part of it. You have to get it on video. If you want that, I have it on video or audio, either one. But the video is the only one that has all the class. But you might enjoy that. It's pretty interesting. So interesting, the class didn't want to stop. So, but we're going to go on this next week, though. Next Sunday night, Brother Bill, I'll be on the same subject, just a little bit further. Okay? So if you can escape from home and come here on Sunday night at 4:30.
If she lets me out of my house long enough, what time is 4 o'clock?
4:30.
4:30.
Yeah, 4:30. All right, 12 and verse 12 and verse 12. And entitle this one body with many members. Kothaper, Gar, Tol, Soma, Hen, Esten, Kai, Mele, Pola, Eke, Ponta, Day, Ta, Mele, Tu, Somatos, Hola, Onta, Hen, Esten, Soma, Hutos, Kai, Ho, Christos. This goes from 12:12 to 31, this subject. It says, according to, or just as, or concerning around. That's what that means. Comes from Kata and Peri. Katha Per. Gar. Concerning, according to the body one. What body one is this talking about? Each New Testament local church. Each and every New Testament local church singularly. In one place, in one location. Each church. Alright? Members many. Alright, members many, yet she has. Our church is feminine, isn't she? Alright, call the bride of Christ. And each one of these local churches has many members. This one here has got about 10,000, I think, or some close to 10,000 members here at Valley Baptist Church. Now, there are many members, but there's one body. One body. And even though they have different Sunday school classes, I think we probably have around 300 Sunday school classes here. But it's still one body. One body. Okay? The body can't even meet in one place because there's so many, we don't have a building big enough for everybody to get in one place. So it meets three times on Sunday morning in that big building over there. And all the Sunday school classes meet. And all the discipleship classes meet. And all of us have little parts that we play, but we're all part of one body. Many members she has, and all but the members of the body, many being one, it is, or she is. Third person singular, present indicative active. See that word Esten there? Esten, Soma, one body. Just so, or in this way, also the Christ. All right? Christ is one. God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is three. What's it say? One. The Lord our God is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one God. There are not three gods. There aren't four gods, neither. Mary's not part of the Godhead. It just isn't that way. All right? There aren't three gods. There's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. We, in that Godhead, we see Christ. Now, Brother Dick's sitting down there. I know that you're sitting there. What part of you sitting in that chair?
All of you.
That's right. What are you made up of?
Lots of parts.
Lots of parts. Okay. But basically, you're triune, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because you're made like God. What part of you is thinking?
What part is what?
Thinking.
Thinking?
Uh-huh.
Not much.
That would be like God the Father, though, wouldn't it? What part of you is living? Keep life in your body. That's like spirit. Okay? And what part is physical? Material. That's body. Soma. All right. What? That's the part that's falling apart. Those other things, that they just, they're getting stronger, brother. Your spirit and your soul are getting stronger, but the body is getting weaker. The body is getting weaker. God did not create the body to live forever in this state of sin, did He? He took the tree of life out of the garden so Adam and Eve would not live forever in a fallen state. Isn't that nice? That's a good gift. How would you like to live in this fallen state for 2,000 years? Huh? Boy, I don't know if I can handle it. Have enough trouble with it for the last 60-something years. All right. Now, we talked about healing and different things earlier. Healings were not... the gift of healing was not given to a person just indiscriminately do what... like the modern faith healers do. It wasn't like that at all. They would come upon a person. God would inspire them. And many times they prayed right there on the spot. God, you're going to do this. It's going to go off. Why was every healing done? Why were people healed? Why were they healed? What was the purpose of it? Huh? It was a sign to unbelievers, not to believers. It's a sign to unbelievers, not to believers, but to unbelievers. The purpose of it was to prove, first of all, that these men were sent of God. Secondly, it proved that the Word of God, the prophecy they were speaking at that time, which we have right here now, that was God's Word. The miracles were done to prove the Word and to prove the messengers of the Word. Okay? Let's go on a little bit further now, 12 and verse 13, and we're going to get into another sub-subject, okay? We're going to talk about scriptural water baptism and scriptural spirit baptism. All right, scriptural water baptism and scriptural baptism. Kai, Gar, En, Heni, Numati, Hemes, Pontes, Eis, Hen, Soma, Ebaptiste, Men, Ate, Uedea, I'll get it right. Ude oi, Ate, Helenes, Ate, Duloi, Ate, Eleutheroi, Kai, Pontes, Hen, Numa, Epotistamen. We've got a particle of affirmation to begin with there, Kai, and then we have a casual particle or conjunction in Gar, and then we've got a preposition, and then a numeral. For indeed, or for yes, most affirmatively, in one spirit, we all, into one body, we were baptized. This is talking about the baptism of the Spirit. Baptism of the Spirit, Brother Bill. No, he's just doing that. Okay? We're all baptized into one spirit, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free people, and all in one spirit we were given to drink. We were given to drink. Potizo is that one. All right, now let's go back and find out what the baptism of the Spirit is talking about. We know what water baptism is, The Bible says there's one baptism, isn't it? One baptism. What baptism is that? One water baptism. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's only one spirit baptism, too. One water baptism, one spirit baptism. And we don't have any problems with what baptism is. For a person, scriptural baptism is very important. Many people come from other groups and things, and I always tell them, I said, if you come to this church, join this church to be baptized. Be baptized by this church. Because you know that your baptism is good then, period. Baptism is very important. Baptism is basically like the door handle to the church. All right? It's like a door handle. You've got to get baptized before you join the church. But in the church is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the church is the Comforter. Now let's go look and see what we're talking about. In the church, in scriptural churches, is the Holy Spirit. We are immersed in that Spirit. That Spirit was prophesied to come. John 1:33, Luke 3:16, Mark 1:8, Matthew 3:11. Let's go look at some of those. Michelle, do you have any one of them out there yet in your Bible? Do you want to come up here and read one of them, if you don't mind? Penny, do you have one of them looked up there yet? Yeah, okay. Matthew 3:11, or Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, John 1:33, and Acts 1:5-8. Are you ready? Watch all that paraphernalia.
Okay, this is John 1:33.
Yes.
I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me.
Okay, now let's hold on right there for just a minute. When you interpret Scripture, what are the basic rules of interpretation?
Who's speaking?
Who is speaking?
Speaking
who is speaking to? And what is the subject? Who's speaking? John the Baptist is speaking. John the Immerser, John the Dipper is speaking. What's he speaking about? It's about the baptism of Jesus. Okay, now let's go read that all over again.
Read it again.
Uh-huh.
I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.
All right. Now, it's not baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's actually baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Any of you got one of them now? Okay, you want to come up here? Thank you, Michelle.
Luke 3:16.
Luke 3:16. They're pretty much all the same.
Yeah. John answered them all by saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I am is coming, the strap of whose sandal I am not fit to unfasten. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Okay, in the Holy Spirit and with in fire. Holy Spirit and in fire. Okay, who's got any of the others? Who's got one of the others? Somebody want to come up here and read that?
I have Matthew 3:11.
Okay, come right up here. Matthew 3:11. What? Okay, I know that your Bible is falling apart like mine. Okay.
Okay, Matthew 3:11. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Okay. They like to turn that Greek preposition in into with. Why? If you baptize with water, what does that mean? You can sprinkle and pour. And most of these people that translate that were pedo-baptists, which sprinkled and poured. So they're not going to, I baptize you in water. It what it means, I dip you with water. Baptism means, baptizo means to dip, to immerse. I immerse you with water? That's not the way it is. You're baptized in water. You're dipped in water. What does baptism, are we talking about water baptism here, and we're talking about spirit baptism, okay? Water baptism and spirit baptism. Now, when you're baptized in water, what does baptism portray? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, what does it portray? The best burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, basically the gospel. So when you're buried with Christ in baptism, you're buried, your old self is buried with Him, and you're raised anew unto newness of life. Okay? Like in His resurrection. Now, your Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't even believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Did you know that? They don't believe that. Born and raised from the dead, they're dead in their sins, and we're dead in ours, and baptism doesn't mean anything. Because baptism is talking about a resurrection. Not just a death. He didn't just die, but He was raised. Without Christ being raised, the anastasia, standing again, there is no gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. There is no gospel without Christ being resurrected. All right. Anybody else have any of those other ones? Anyone else? Brother Bill. Brother. You want to come up? You want to come up? Acts 1, 5 through 8. Acts 1, 5 through 8. Acts 1, 5 through 8.
For John baptized with the water, but we will be baptized.
Change that, brother, and make it like it's supposed to be.
This one here?
Uh-huh. How should that be translated? John dipped you in water.
Okay, for John dipped you.
All right, let's get that straight.
For John dipped you in water, but you will be dipped with the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit, many days from now.
All right.
So when they came together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it this time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the approach which the Father has fixed His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witness both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remote parts of the earth.
Okay, who's He speaking to? Jesus is speaking in the red letters, isn't He? Who's He speaking to? His church. Simple as that. Now He said the church is going to get baptized, didn't He? He's going to baptize the church. He's going to baptize them. They've already been baptized in water baptism. Now they're going to be baptized in spirit baptism, okay? Now let's go back in the Old Testament. And if there's something real in the New Testament, there was a type of it in the Old Testament, wasn't there? Every sacrifice, every festival in the Old Testament portrayed some fact, some event, some part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Okay? The festival of first fruits. What was that? The festival of first fruits. Let's just think about that for a minute. What does the festival of first fruits represent? That Jews don't do that today anymore. Do you know that? You know why? What does the festival of first fruits represent? The resurrection. The resurrection. All right? What about the whole burnt offering? That Christ gave His all. That the Godhead all tasted death for our sins. Alright? Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement. What was the Day of Atonement? That was the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. Okay? These are some of the things. Now look back at the tabernacle back over there. That's the tabernacle. That's Israel all camped around it right up there on that thing up there on the bulletin board. And then you see a pillar there, a fire, or smoke, or cloud. It said that when the pillar first came upon them, that it immersed them with the Shekinah glory of God. They were all immersed, baptized in the Spirit Shekinah glory of God. Now, when Solomon finally finished and built the temple, what happened there? Spirit God, once again, immersed that temple. So immersed was that temple and all of the priests that they couldn't see to minister. They were immersed in that cloud. Now, we are told the church is going to wait at Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. Jesus said, I must go away. But if I go away, I'm going to do what? I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit, Spirit God, to you, and He is going to immerse you. He's going to immerse you. John said several times, we already looked at, I'm baptizing you, I am dipping you in water, but He shall dip you, He shall immerse you, He shall baptize you in Spirit holy and with fire. Who's He talking to? All these times. He's talking to the church. Talking to the church. All right. Talking to the church. Bill.
This verse here, 13, and this what you're talking about, kind of blows them Church of Christ people out of water to think that if you don't belong to the Church of Christ, you're not saved. You got to have that name. It says right here, Jews, Greeks, everybody.
Yes.
Is the body of Christ. But they think that anybody that doesn't have the name Church of Christ is not the body of Christ.
Okay, now this one time you're baptized scripturally, you don't need to be baptized again. Did you know that? Once you've been scripturally baptized, once you've been baptized by the authority of a New Testament church, that's the ones that have the authority. Like I said, if you come from a foreign body, a different church, you come here, come on baptism. Come and get baptism. Get the baptism of the church. It's very important. It's scriptural baptism. All right? Baptism is important. Now, spirit baptism is important too. Because spirit baptism is that which leads you into all truth. Now, how do you get spirit baptism? Let's go look in the Bible. Okay, let's go look. Acts the second chapter. Acts chapter 2. We've been told that it was going to happen, didn't we? And by the way, every one of the scriptures that we have looked at so far talked about scriptural baptism, or not scriptural baptism, but spirit baptism as something future, didn't it? Did it not? Did it not? Something was going to happen to them. Now go to Acts 2. All right. I'll just read this myself. And when the day of Pentecost had come, that means 50 days. All right. They were all together in one place. Who's all together in one place? The church. All right. There's basically 120 preachers there and a whole lot of people. Okay. 120 preachers and a whole lot of people. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house. It immersed the whole house with this noise. And they were sitting. Or they were sitting. And there appeared unto them flames of fire. Flames of fire. Flames of fire. This flame of fire was distributing itself and rested upon each one of their heads. Every person in that house had a flame of fire on their head. On their head, resting on their head. And that flame of fire stood for the Shekinah glory of God, which was in the Old Testament at the tabernacle and at the temple. Do you see? Now, also in the Old Testament at the Tower of Babel, what happened? The languages were confused. Because of sin, the languages were confused at the Tower of Babel. And the earth was divided. Now God's going to unconfuse the languages here on this day. That's the great miracle. We have the unconfusion of languages here on this day. And they were all filled up. When you're filled up, what does that mean? You're immersed in spirit. And they began to speak with other languages. In other languages. Now, they didn't really begin to speak in other languages. I want you to understand this. They were speaking in a one language. And everybody understood that language as if it was their own dialect from their own village where they came from. Okay? That's what happened here. As the Spirit was giving them ability to utter. Verse number 5. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own specific dialect. Not only language, but dialect of the village where he was. Can you tell somebody from North and South Carolina? New York, Brooklyn? Can you? New Jersey? They've got a dialect. They've got a language. You can tell them. You can get on the telephone with them. You can tell that they're someplace else. I remember a long time ago, I always, when I preached any place in California, I'd ask, they'd say, you've got an accent. Where are you from? I said, I'm from California. Wow, you got an accent. Some other kind of accent. I went back to the Red River between Oklahoma and Texas, and I preached in a little church there in Gainesville, Texas, and I got up there and I said, do you people think I have an accent? And they said, no. I said, I must be home. These people were home. They were home. They were hearing everyone speak as if it was in their own language. They were amazed and struck out of their senses. Is it, we're not all of these who are speaking Galileans? These are people, the one from Galilee. There were thousands of people in that church mentioned, and that there was 120 preachers here preaching. Not only Peter was preaching, I'm telling you. There's a whole bunch of preachers here preaching. And how is it that each one of them here in his own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speak in their own languages, in their own specific dialects, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. What mighty deeds are they talking about? Talking about Jesus Christ dying, buried, and being resurrected. That's a mighty deed. They never talked about the resurrection before this. Job spoke about it. He thought he was going to be raised from the dead. But they didn't believe in the resurrection. Brother Art.
So are they speaking their native tongue, Koine Greek, and people heard it in their languages?
They heard in their own languages. That was a miracle. They were hearing that in their own languages. That is, this what they were getting is they got the gift of interpretation. Every one of them had the gift of interpretation. They heard them just like they were speaking in their own very dialects. Okay? The speaking was not so much the miracle as a hearing miracle. But they're all hearing them exactly in their own languages, in their own dialect where they were born. And all they continued to be amazed and perplexed and struck out of their senses, saying to one another, what in the world does this mean? But others were mocking, saying, they are full of highly alcoholic wine. Highly alcoholic, sweet wine. That's, you know what produces alcohol in any drink? Sugar. Sugar. The sugar. The more sugar you have in there to begin with, the more alcohol you're going to have. My grandpa was a bootlegger. A whole lot of them. A lot of my grandpas were bootleggers. And I knew how to make whiskey when I was pretty young. The first thing you do is you go out and you get some rye and you get some corn and other things, a little yeast, and you pour it in this barrel. It can't be a galvanized barrel, by the way. That'll poison you. You get Jake Lake whiskey then. That'll kill you. All right. You pour it in this copper kettle or whatever else, and you pour a lot of sugar in it. Just gobs and gobs of sugar. And after a few days, it begins to boil and boil and boil and boil. And when a hydrometer will float in it just right, or you taste it, and it's rotten beer, rotten rye, and it smells. But it'll bubble and bubble and bubble. What's it doing? It's converting that sugar into alcohol. That's alcohol. And he told them, you people are drunk on very highly intoxicated sweet wine, wine that had sugar poured in it. So it would make a lot of alcohol. Highly intoxicating. Strong drink. That's what it's talking about, strong drink. They used to use strong drink back in those days for what? Anesthesia. Or painkillers. That's what it was used for. Well, yeah. The alcohol would always, they poured wine in all water to kill the bacteria, the bad bacteria in it. All right. And then we have Peter's sermon. And verse number 14 onward there, we have Peter's sermon, and he tells them what's happened there. He tells them that in the end times this is going to happen. Now let's go over in Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts chapter 10, we're going to find out what happened over there in Acts chapter 10. We're talking about spirit baptism and water baptism here. We're talking about scriptural water baptism and scriptural spirit baptism. A lot of churches today talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, the only place you're going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost is in Baptist churches. I don't care what they purport to be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is only in true Baptist churches. That's it. There's the ones that were given the gospel. There's the one carrying it out for the last 2,000 years. And that's where the Shekinah glory has resided. Now here, we have Peter at Joppa. And there is a church at Joppa, a New Testament church that was started and came out of the Jerusalem church. And they went over there and started another New Testament church, a local visible body of believers there in Joppa. Okay? That little town is still over there, right there by on the Mediterranean Sea. I've been there. In verse number 34, Peter, opening his mouth, Peter said, I certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. And the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Of course, that is in parenthesis. You yourselves know this thing, which took place through all Judea, starting in Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. What's baptism? Out of the immersion was John. What did John preach? He preached a baptism of what? An immersion of what?
Repentance.
They were baptized because they had repented and called upon the Lord to forgive them and save their souls. That's what we still do. You're baptized after you repented. You don't get baptized to get saved. You're baptized because you are saved. Okay? That's the one baptism. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, who God anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and how that he went about doing good, healing all the oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And ye are witnesses of all the things that he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. Now, first of all, God approached Peter, which was a very prejudiced Jewish man. And he sent a vision to him, a hypnose, a dream. And he was there, and he let down a sheet, a tablecloth, full of all types of what? Unclean animals. Clean and unclean animals. And he told him, arise and slay and eat. And he said, oh no, not one unclean thing has ever passed these lips. He said, don't you say anything's unclean that I have cleansed. All right? That's what he told him. Now he tells him to get over here to these Gentiles, these dogs, these unclean people. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to the witnesses who were chosen before by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who had been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. And of him all the prophets bear witness. That's all the thing. Remember, we talked about all the prophecies, all of the festivals, all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament typified Jesus Christ, didn't it? Witnesses through his name that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. The Holy Spirit immersed them. Who are these people?
Gentiles.
Now, they didn't think much of Gentiles until now. All these churches were Jewish churches. Did you know that? There was no Gentile church yet. But now we're going to found, we're going to have an arm from the Joppa church, and we're going to start a church here in Caesarea, in the house of Cornelius, and we're going to start a Gentile church. Okay? And God had to really work things over. He reversed the order here for just a moment. These people weren't baptized yet, were they? Now, where's the Holy Spirit found today? The Holy Spirit, each and every one of you, when you're saved and born again, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you. But we're not talking about the dwelling of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. We're talking about the Comforter that leads you into all truth. That's what's here. Every person from Adam all the way down, every person that was ever saved was indwelt by Spirit God. All right? But we're not talking about the indwelling of the Spirit of God now. We're talking about immersion in the Spirit. We're talking about being baptized in Spirit God. Different. Different story. That church there in the second chapter in the book of Acts was baptized in Spirit God. Every one of them already indwelled with the Spirit of God, weren't they? Weren't they? We're already indwelled. We're triune by nature. The spirit that we're born with is a spirit of rebellion. When we're born again, that spirit is kicked out and Spirit God dwells in us and marks us for the resurrection. Simple as that. What is this other Holy Spirit baptism that we're talking about? There's indwelling of the Spirit and there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon this church then. Okay? Now let's go back and look some more. All the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed. Now this is a representative of the church in Joppa. These are all what we call representatives or elders coming from Joppa to this place here. These are all elders. This is a presbytery, so to speak. They've come here and God told Peter, take them with you. Because I'm going to start a church down there. Because that's real. And Peter was amazed because the gift, the grace of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. These dogs. For they were hearing them speaking in languages and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for these to be immersed. He said, how in the world? Now these people believed and they already had the immersion of the Holy Spirit. Do you think Peter would have talked that church into baptizing these people if this miracle hadn't occurred? No way. They're too prejudiced. We had trouble with this afterwards. We know that they still had trouble with it. They still tried to make Jews out of the Gentiles. And they had a council in Jerusalem after this. They had a lot of trouble. They wanted them to become Jews. Surely no one can refuse. Now here we have a vote. Now we have these elders voting to baptize these people and to start a church. Right there in Joppa. It's going to be a Gentile church. Surely no one can refuse water for these to be immersed who have already received the Holy Spirit, have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he ordered them to be baptized, to be dipped in the name or the authority of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. All right. Now, here, Peter says that the Holy Spirit had already come. The Holy Spirit, the immersion of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit had already come in Jerusalem. And every church that they went out and they started had this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not like this, but they carried that baptism of the Holy Spirit with them, the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory today is instilled in every scriptural New Testament church throughout the world. It's still there. It's still that you don't see it. How do you find out whether the church is sound and got that Spirit in it? If it teaches other... Brother Bill, you left the Free Will Baptist. We were talking about that earlier at the beginning. Did they preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ?
No.
You know why? They call themselves Baptists, but they're not. That bunch was started in 1611. They came out basically to the Church of England. Does the Church of England ever have the immersion of the Holy Spirit? No. If anybody's saved in that church, they're going to be indwelled by the Spirit of God, but they do not have the leadership of the Spirit of God as the comforter.
And they don't know as what they're talking about with Revelation.
They were never baptized in the Spirit of God. I tell you what, even the pastors over there, I don't know whether you could go and find out whether they're really saved or not. By grace, they'll tell you what I did today to get to heaven. What do you do today to get to heaven? What did you do today, Brother Dick, to get to heaven? Absolutely nothing. You know what I did today to get to heaven? Nothing. You know what I did in 1960? I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul, and I had the gift of faith and belief. And that gift of faith and belief is what saved me, and that's why I'm going to go to heaven. Not because of what I did ever since, or will do tomorrow. There's nothing in this world that I can do to get me to heaven. It's what Jesus did. That's it. What Jesus did. All right. Going a little further now. Acts 11 and 15. That's just a little bit further. Peter reports to the church in Jerusalem. Now, Peter is talking here, and he's reporting to the church in Jerusalem. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea, 11 and verse 1, heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem and reported to that church as a representative and as a messenger from the Joppa church to the Jerusalem church and from the church at Caesarea to the Jerusalem church, when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. Now they're still having a problem. Remember, do you think that they would ever baptize those people as the Holy Spirit hadn't immersed them first? No way. God had to perform a miracle. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, these people began to argue with him, saying that you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Yuck.
Probably had him.
God had to teach him something before he even sent him, didn't he? Had to give him the vision. And Peter began to proceed to explain to them in orderly sequence, in orderly sequence. I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance. He was in a hypnotic trance. God hypnotized him. He hypnotized Adam in the Garden of Eden. He hypnotized Pharaoh. He hypnotized Joseph. This is all what we call hypnose. All right? He was in a hypnotic trance, and I saw a vision. A certain object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And I fixed my gaze upon it and was observing it, and I saw four-footed animals over there, all the wild beasts and crawling creatures and the birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, Peter, arise, slay, kill, and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord. Nothing unholy and unclean has ever entered my lips. Nothing. I'll die first. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times. Three times. A third time's a charm, you know. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. God's preparing the way all the way. Now here we're going to have a church started in Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And these six brethren also went with me. These are representatives of the church, church messengers. These are the elders, the presbytery going with him to start another church, to give orders by the authority of that church in Joppa, to baptize these. Okay? And we entered into a man's household, this Gentile, you know. And we reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is called Peter, brought here. What's Simon mean? What's Simon mean? One who hears. That's Hebrew. And what does Peter mean? That's Greek. That means a little stone. Little stone. And he shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, and you and all your household. And I began to speak. The Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it did upon us in the beginning. This is past tense, isn't it? It happened. It's fulfilled. This is a historic. It's a historical event. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John the Baptist baptized in water, but you shall be baptized in spirit holy. If God therefore gave them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing, this was a charisma, the gift. Charisma, the gift. After believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, so who was I that I could stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well, then God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. That leads to life. You know, that's what it says there. Repentance that leads to life. When you repent and when you're born again, are you saved? It's a done thing. For in grace you're having been saved, Ephesians 2 and 8. Through faith. And what? And that is not of you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created in God, a workmanship created in God unto good works. After you're saved, you can do all those good works because you are saved. All right. Well, now we see the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the scriptural baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of unscriptural baptism out there today. There's unscriptural sprinkling, there's unscriptural pouring, and there's unscriptural dipping out in the world today because these people don't have any authority to do it. People up and jumped up and just start churches, don't they? These churches are all started by another church with authority of an apostle or something. Let's go on now to verse number 14. Kai, Gar, Tol, Soma, Uk, Esten, Hen, Melos, Ala, Paula. For indeed the body not it is. Not she is. Literally, third person singular, present, indicative, active. You want to write that down there below that. One member, but many. Each New Testament church is made up of members like fangs, fingers, and teeth, and eyes, and nose, and ears, and mouth, and all of that. Foot, fingers, toes, hands, arms, knees, even seats. 12 and verse 15. Eon, Epe, Ho, Pus, Hote, Uk, Amy, Care, Uk, Amy, Ek, Tu, Somatos, U, Para, Tuto, Uk, Esten, Ek, Tu, Somatos. For it says, if may say the foot, because not I am a hand, and not I am out of the body, not beside this, not she is out of the body. 12 and verse 16. Kai, Ion, Epe, To, Us, Hote, Uk, Amy, Ophthalmos, Uk, Amy, Ek, Tu, Somatos, U, Para, Tuto, Uk, Esten, Ek, Tu, Somatos. And if may say, again, the ear, because not I am, first person singular, present, indicative, active, that Amy there, I am an eye, ophthalmologist comes from that word right there, ophthalmologist. Not I am an eye, not I am, first person singular, present, indicative, out of the body. Not beside this, not, she is out of the body. It is out of the body. Right? 12 and verse 17 now. A, holon, to, soma, ophthalmos, pu, he, akoe, a, holon, akoe, pu, he, as, fro, seis. Okay? If all the entire body and eye, where the hearing? If the whole body of believers was an eye, how would they hear anything? For since hearing one, where the smelling? Now, we just have all of the church members are an eyeball. All the church members are an ear. All the church members are nose. Sometimes I think all church members are nose because they're so nosy. All right? But machine needs a little attention. The whole body isn't an eye, and the whole body isn't an ear, and the whole body isn't a nose. 12 and verse 18 now. Nini, Dei, Hothios, Etheto, Ta, Mele, Hen, Ekason, Auton, En, To, Somate, Kathos, Ethelason. Nini, now. But now the God. What number, gender, and case is God in there, by the way? Give you a little short test here. Hothios, what is that?
Holy.
That's the case of the subject, so what is that? That's nominative, singular, masculine. Nominative, that's the subject, that's the one acting. He's singular, he's one God, and he's masculine in gender. And the definite article describes the noun, the person. All right? All right, third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle. But the God, he is set the members, one each of them in the body, just as he has wished. He has wished. God picked out and set members in the body. Why does not a church have all teachers in it? You wouldn't have any teachees, would you? Everybody wants to teach. I've had churches that were like that sometimes. Everybody wanted to be a big shot and teacher. Nobody wanted to be a hearer. Hearers are very important. Teachers are very important, but hearers are very important. 12 and verse 19. A, day, ain, ta, ponta, hen, melos, hu, to, soma. And if all of them kept on being members, one member, where would be the whole body? A church is a body. It has to have ears, it has to have eyes, it has to have a head, it has to have a neck, it has to have feet, it has to have a hand, it has to have a heart. All these things are necessary. You can't just have all noses, all mouths. We have to have a complete church. And a church has more hearing members than it has teaching members, and more hearing members than it has preaching members, don't we? You are more important than the preacher. Do you know that? Because if a preacher was only going to preach to one or two people, he wouldn't get very excited, would he? If a teacher only had one person to teach to, it'd be like one-on-one all the time. It wouldn't be, you couldn't multiply very fast, could you? 20. 12 and 20. Nin, day, pola, man, mele, hen, day, soma. But now many indeed members one body. One body. 12:21. U, dinate, day, ho, ophthalmos, epain, te, kera, kerain, su, uk, echo, a, pollen, hay, kafali, tois, husen, crayon, himon, uk, echo. Not is powerful enough or is able, and the eye to say. All right, to say, that's infinity right there. To say, to the hand you not, I have. I don't need you. Or, again, the head to the foot, or to the feet, need not I have of you. Not I have of you. I don't need a foot. I don't need a hand. I'm just a big eyeball. I'm just a big hand or whatever. 12:22. We're moving along here. Allah, palo, malon, ta, dokunta, mele, tu, somatos, Astanestera, Hiparkain, Anag, Kaya, Estin. But many rather the things judged necessary or judged good, members of the body, weaker. Look at that one. One's weaker to be under existing, and it's necessary. She is. Third person singular, present, indicative, active. All right? She is. 12:23. Kai, ha, dokumen, ato, motera, ene, tu, somatos, tutos, temain, perasoteron, peritimtemain, kai, ta, as, ker, Mona. Hemon. Usku mo sunain. Periso teran. Eke. And which is members?
We think. We judge. That comes from Dokio there. First person, plural, present, indicative, active. Not honorable. Atemotera.
This is where we get the name Timothy from, is right there. Ah, Timothy, not Timothy, all right? Unhonorable, not honorable to be the body. This. Honor, Timmy. I say Timothy. Timane. Exceedingly, peraso teron. That means more abundantly, exceedingly overflowing. We place around peri antithemy, first person plural, present indicative active, and the plain, unhidden of us, the comeliness. Exceedingly, she has. All right, let's get up here and read this in the Amplified Bible up to where we are. All right? Michelle, can you come up here and read this for me, please? Twelve, 12 through 22. We did 10 verses tonight. 12, 12 through 22. Right there.
12.
Right there.
For just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For by means of the personal agency of one Holy Spirit, we are all, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, baptized, and by baptism united together into one body, and all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. For the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, would it be therefore not a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, would it be therefore not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit, and with the best
adaptation.
But if the whole were all a single organ, where would the body be? And now there are certainly many limbs and organs, but a single body. And the eye is not able to say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. But instead, there is absolute necessity for the parts of the body that are considered and more weak.
All right, anymore? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you very much. Well, we'll quit right there and we'll start next week. We want to 12 through 22. We did 23? All right. 12 through 23 is what we did. We did 11 verses. Thank you, brother. All right, man, I didn't get to read. Penny, you want to run up here and read that last one?
Oh.
No? 23, we didn't get 23. All right, we'll get you involved too again. You can bring yours or I don't have this one. I brought it tonight.
Yeah. Okay, 23. Okay.
Sometimes I don't bring mine.
And those parts of the body which we consider rather ignorant, and the very parts which we invest with additional honor, and our unseemly parts, and those unsuitable for exposure, are treated with seemliness, modesty, and decorum.
All right. They're good for decoration, aren't they?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And I hope this was a blessing to you. Did you learn something tonight? Get something out of this? Yeah. I hope you got something out of this. Brother Art, good to have you here again tonight. Who wants to go and send us out there and we can do something eternal this week? Who wants to do that? Rose? Nope. Brother David, would you like to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, or do you want to do it, Dakota?
Dakota.
Oh, all right. Yeah, Dakota. Everybody, no one ever gets to see Dakota on camera.
We'll just
it's like Randall.
It over.
Like Randall.
Okay. Okay, quick prayer. Our Lord God in heaven, we praise you and we worship you tonight in studying your word. Guide us through the week to come, that we may follow that narrow path that we have chosen when we follow you. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your attention and your prayer.